You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Glory! What a day! I'm glad I came to church. Church. You know there is a difference. You do know that, don't you? There's. Brenda, some of Brenda's relatives, real Pentecostal, you know, and later became Pentecostal. Her grandmother got saved late in life. Yeah, but anyway, we went there a few times. You know, I'd visit, going to Center. We're both born and raised in Center, Texas, and I'd go in after I got saved, and we'd go over to those churches, and I'd get tickled with the little ladies that would testify. They'd always testify in church. You know, you've heard me tell this story many times if you've been coming, but they'd get up and they'd say, "I'm just so glad to be in church tonight. I came to church." They don't go to church. They go to church. There's a difference between church and church. And they said, "I got my shouting shoes on and I come to shout tonight because I came to church." And bless God, they shouted and they did. They came to church and they had their shouting shoes on. And so you ought to come with your shouting shoes on. Don't go to church. Go to church. So we've had church this morning, hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to talk a little bit about the resurrection, what it means to us. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful name. I love that song. Wasn't that a beautiful song? Didn't they do a great job? You know, they didn't just perform well. They were anointed, and that's a difference. The anointing makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you don't even have to be that good to be anointed, and they were good and anointed, so that's doubly good. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 2, it's kind of like this song we just finished up here. This is something that Jesus did in the 14th, Hebrews 2nd chapter 14th verse. Notice what it says. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." We're celebrating a Jesus that came and lived and died and just like we did. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But it says he likewise took part of the same, that through death, he even experienced death, through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Yeah. And the reason, and deliver, the 15th verse, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Because fear brings bondage, doesn't it? We fear the future, we fear the unknown, we fear death. And I'm not saying I'm you know, just excited about dying right now, but I do know I'm going somewhere when I die. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And Jesus procured that for me and for you. And we can face the future with faith and courage, knowing, you know, that although our body may shake and our lips may quiver and our knees may not, you know, we've got a home on the other side of this thing called life here. And we got a home in heaven, and we're going to get a new body one day. And Jesus came to deliver us from fear of death. He conquered death, conquered it, took the keys of hell and death away from the devil. Revelation chapter 1 says that he has the keys of hell and death. And you notice after Jesus rose from the dead, when Christians die, now they go straight to heaven. They didn't before, but now they do. When Stephen was stoned in Acts the 7th chapter, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the reason we go to heaven now is because Jesus rose from the dead. That's the reason. Because before we went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Catholics often refer to it as purgatory. God bless Catholics. I thank God for Catholics. But purgatory or paradise or Abraham's bosom is empty. Now you and I go to heaven. There was a place before Jesus rose that saints went to. Remember Lazarus, the rich man and the poor man in Luke 16? You know, the rich man was died and Lazarus died. It says the rich man was buried and Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You know, there's a difference between being buried and carried. Amen. Hallelujah, I'm going to be carried. Amen. Not just buried. But anyway, Lazarus was in a good place. The rich man was in a hot place. And he said, "Lord, let Lazarus come down and just dip his finger in water and touch the tip of my tongue because I am tormented in these flames." He could see Lazarus in a place that was cool and had water and he wasn't tormented and he wasn't hot. And that was called paradise or Abraham's bosom. But that place is empty now, because now you go to heaven, hallelujah, when you die. Wow. Remember on the cross, Jesus said to the man beside him, the thief, he said, remember, the thief said, remember me, Lord, in your kingdom. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Everybody say this day. Well, Jesus didn't go to heaven that day. He didn't go to heaven until the third day. But he went to paradise, which is a place set apart for the saints in the old covenant. Thank God we got a better covenant. And now you and I go right on into glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all can get excited. I'm not fixing to take up tickets and load right now. I'm just saying when you die, you know. Jesus conquered death. He conquered and he took away the fear of death in that sense. Jesus is a conqueror. We're going to celebrate his birth and around Christmas, but that's not really who we worship, not that little baby. That was part of it. He had to become a baby and be born, and he had to live a sinless life, and he had to be the greatest teacher ever was. Come on, he's God in the flesh. He had to be the example that we follow, no question. He had to die. But see, Jesus dying didn't save you. Jesus rising from the dead saved you. Right. Think about it. A lot of people died. A lot of people died for your sin. A lot of people have died for good causes, good people. We call them martyrs. Martin Luther King died for the civil rights movement. He's a martyr to the civil rights movement. That's a modern day martyr that we know of. I mentioned Stephen in Acts the 7th chapter. He was a martyr for the Christian faith. Then there was James, who was beheaded, I think, in the 12th chapter of Acts. He was another martyr. Several famous martyrs, you know, that we can think of that have been burned at the stake and killed. But Jesus didn't die like that. He wasn't a martyr for the faith. Jesus rose again third day. Wow. He made this thing good. He conquered hell, death, and the grave. He rose victorious. And we are more than conquerors. You know, that's why the Bible says that. Because he actually did the fighting, but we're more than conquerors because we get the residual, the rewards, we get the benefit, and we don't do anything. You know, I've heard it likened to a prize fighter, like a heavyweight championship. You know, if you got a guy and there's 220 pounds, he's beating it out, middleweight championship, whatever. I've forgotten the designation of the weights, but you know, they may get, I don't know, $40, $50 million a fight. I don't know what it is now. You know, it used to be a lot less. But it's amazing they go out there and beat it out for 13 rounds, used to be 15. And this guy, 220-pound, massive beast of a man, gets this $30 million check and goes home. You know, he's a conqueror. He's conquered, man. He has beat it out, and he is conquered. And he opens that door, and there's his 110-pound, 5'2" wife. Says, give me that check. She's more than a conqueror. Are you with me? He fought. He's the conqueror, but she's more than a conqueror. She gets the money. And he doesn't argue either. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So that's kind of the way we are when we're talking about the resurrection. We're not just talking about something Jesus did. We're not just talking about our hero, which we are, but not all. That's not all we're talking about. We're not just talking about what it meant for him. We're talking about what it meant for us. We're not just saying he didn't stay dead, he rose. We're saying we're not going to stay dead either. We're going to rise. Because what Jesus did, he did for us. And this is what saved us, is the resurrection. This is what separates us. Because many people have died for causes. Many religions have had leaders that have martyred and died for their cause. In fact, all the religious leaders that we know of have died. None of them have rose except Jesus. Amen. Muhammad is dead. Okay. Moses is dead. Think about it. But Buddha is dead. Confucius is dead. No longer confused at this point. But anyway, he's dead. Every religious leader has died, but only Jesus has rose, been raised from the dead. His tomb is empty. So really, you know, we hold up many times the cross as the sign of the faith, but really the empty tomb is the sign of the faith. And I believe in holding up the cross. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. By way of the cross, he did rise from the dead. He had to go through the cross. There had to be a crucifixion before there was a crown. Are you with me? There had to be a sacrifice. He had to give up before he went up. I got that. But the sign of Christianity really would be the empty tomb, if you think about it. Wow. Man, that's what saved us. Paul said this. He said, if there be no resurrection, your faith is vain, and you're dead in your sins. We often say he died for our sins, true, but he was raised to make us righteous. He died for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. So it all centers around, there is no other greater holiday in the world ever. There's no greater holiday any year in your life than in my life than this holiday. Holiday, holy day, that's what holiday was. It was a holy day. Don't get confused with everything, you know, with the eggs and the bunny, and are you with me? And I like chocolate too. Stay with me. But there wasn't no bunny that paid price for your sins.
That's right.
And you can't eat enough chocolate eggs to go to heaven, okay? Good as they are. Are you out there? Just remember, it's about Jesus, amen?
Amen.
This is his holiday, holy day, and we're celebrating something in particular. You know, you have a holiday because you're trying to remember something. You don't want to forget something. You want the next generation to get a hold of it. You pass it down by making a holiday. That's why we do 4th of July, so we don't forget Independence of this country, Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Those that died that we might be free, and I might stand here and preach the gospel to you because people, men and women, shed their blood that we'd have freedom in this country to preach. We don't want to forget that. That's Memorial Day. Veterans Day, those that have fought and are still alive, many of them, you know, still here. Thank you for your service. Hallelujah. Holidays mean something. And I think sometimes our religious holidays, we've just kind of lost the meaning, haven't we? And it's just so subtle and so easy because we do get together and we do celebrate and we do eat too much. I got that. Are you with me? And we should celebrate and we should get families together, but don't forget what it's about. That's why we set it aside, is so we wouldn't forget. And yet we've merged it with so many other things. And there's nothing wrong with many times those other things. They can be fun and exciting, and that's great. I think we should celebrate. I think we ought to shoot off firecrackers on 4th of July. I think it's wonderful. And barbecue, and are you with me? And have picnics and go outside. I think it's just awesome to do all that. Get families together. But don't forget why. Don't forget why. The why of today, well, the why of today is so you and I go to heaven. Hallelujah. Our whole salvation is based on this holiday. Really, there's no other event in the Bible, no other event Jesus ever performed that did any more for us or mean any more to us concerning our salvation than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. I'm going to read you just a few verses here. I won't keep you long. Hallelujah. What was that Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband? I won't keep you long. I got to see if you're awake out here, okay? Are you with me? Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, Paul speaking. He says, moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15, 1, I declare to you the gospel, the good news. That's what gospel means. It's just a Latin word. It comes from the Greek word evangelion, which we get the word evangelist or eulogy. You know, at a funeral, you eulogize someone. You say good things. So he was saying, I declare to you the good news. Man, I like that. I declare you the good news which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand. Everybody say stand. Okay, we've heard this good news, and we stand on this good news. We received it, and we stand on it. By which also you are saved. I'm saved because of this thing he's going to tell us, this good news. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. If you keep believing. If you stop believing in Jesus, you're not going to heaven, I can tell you. All right, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. But not just Jesus, believe that God raised him from the dead. Think about Romans 10:9. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we're not just believing in a good man, good teacher, a figure of history, Jesus, moral teaching. Are you with me? Great moral teacher, the Beatitudes, all those things. We're not just believing that. We're not just believing there is a Jesus. There was a Jesus, and he was a good Jesus. No, we're believing that God raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We believe that he's still alive. That's how we're saved, by believing in the resurrection of Jesus. There's a lot of people believe Jesus existed, believe he was a good man, but that won't save you. You got to go the next step. You got to believe he conquered hell, death, and the grave, that he actually arose victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he says this, by which we are saved. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He did do that. And that he was buried, no question. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now this sums up Christianity, that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and rose again. Wow. Now all the rest of it anybody could have fulfilled, but that last part, well, that kind of separates us out a little bit. We're a little bit different than, say, the Muslims or the Jews or the, you know, or the Buddhist or the people of Confucian faith. We believe in a resurrected Savior. We don't believe in a Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, who's just pointing to the Scripture. I mean, the Scripture may be a holy book and the Bible may be what we follow, but we don't worship it. We worship Him. Amen. Now, Muhammad would have pointed to the Quran, and you need to be true to the Quran, and you almost worship the Quran, and even the Jews, God bless them, we're for the Jewish people. We want them to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, as we do the Muslim. They would point to the Torah, the law, the books of Moses as holy, and yes, the spirit of it is holy, and we call our Bible the Holy Bible, but the letter of it's not. It's just a vehicle. It's not a destination. It's just a map. It's just pointing to Jesus. Jesus is who this is all about. Amen. It's about what he did 2,000 years ago and the fact that he is coming back again. And Jesus doesn't, I think it's amazing. It's repetitive. I say it over and over. But Jesus is not pointing to the Bible. The Bible is pointing to him. And we need our Bibles, we need to read our Bibles, and we need to study our Bibles, and we need to get that inside of us, no question. But it's going to lead us to Jesus, because he's the object of the Bible. And if you don't know him, it doesn't matter how much Scripture you know, if you don't know him. Woo! That's what Paul said, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection. That's what he said. So it says here that Jesus was buried, fourth verse, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that's actually Peter, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Wow. So Jesus was seen by many people after he rose from the dead. I always think about that crucifixion, you know, and burial, and they put him in the tomb, and they came out with this wild idea, the Pharisees did. They paid off the guards and told them to go say that while they slept, the disciples stole the body. You know, because the tomb was sealed with a Roman seal. And there were temple guards that were standing there over by the tomb. And they were wide awake when the angel descended from heaven and rolled back the stone. And they fell like dead men. Now, the penalty for that was death if you fell asleep at your job. And so the Pharisees told him, says, look, you just say you fell asleep and we'll back you up. In other words, keep you from being killed is what it was. And that Roman seal being broken, that was a death penalty also. It's interesting, if that were the case, why they didn't go after the disciples. Why didn't they were in town, they preached at the temple. Nobody locked them up. They didn't go search their houses and find Jesus' body and try to reproduce it, did they? They knew better. They didn't want to pursue it. In fact, the Pharisees probably believed more in what Jesus said than the disciples did, because they went, ran, and hid. The Pharisees went over to Pilate and said, hey, we remember what he said. He said he'd rise again the third day. So now, lest these disciples come and steal his body, why don't you give us a Roman guard? Like that was going to stop Jesus being, you know. You think a seal's going to keep Jesus from coming through the tomb, or a couple of guards out front? Another thing you think about, too, if the guards say the disciples stole them while they slept, were they awake while they were asleep? Did they see them while they were sleeping? You ever notice how many holes that thing has in it? And yet that's the best they could come up with, and they sure didn't want to pursue it, because if they did, they wouldn't find an empty tomb. They wouldn't find a Jesus body, because he had risen from the dead. And he was seen of over 500. If they started interviewing people, they'd find person after person actually talked to Jesus after he rose from the dead. 500. Wow. It says, when he wrote this, he says 500 had seen him, and the greater part remained in the present. Some have fallen asleep. So some of them had died, but the greater part of the five, over 250, were still alive when Paul's writing this. After that, he was seen by James, then by the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. This is what they preached. What I'm preaching today, and we do once a year, you know, of course, I mention the resurrection all the time. But the disciples preached the resurrection everywhere they went. If you did a little study and went through the book of Acts and looked at what they preached, Peter, Paul, James, all those guys, they preached the resurrection. So much so that they're in one Greek city and they thought they were preaching two gods. One named Jesus, one named the resurrection. That's literally what it says. They thought they were preaching two gods because they kept talking about the resurrection as if that were a person, but it was an event. Hallelujah. What does it mean? While you're in the 15th chapter, look at the 12th verse. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? If we believe there is a resurrection, Jesus rose from the dead, we believe there's a resurrection of the dead. To say there is no resurrection is to say Christ did not rise. Because he rose so we could rise. That was the whole point. It would be pointless for Jesus to rise from the dead if there is no resurrection, because he didn't do it for himself, he did it for us. The tomb's empty, hallelujah. So you and I are going to go to heaven and we're going to come back and get our body too. Excuse me for getting excited. And if you're excited, I don't see it. You need to tell your face. Hello. You and I are going to come out of that grave. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians. Here's a good one. Often at funerals and homegoings, quote this one because it's just so pertinent. My goodness. You know, when someone dies as a Christian, we bury their body. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. We don't bury them. We bury their body. Their spirit, the moment they took their last breath as a Christian, as a believer, their spirit went right on into heaven. Yeah. You know, when Stephen Stone, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. See, you are a spirit in a body. Your body is not going to last forever. You're going to die. You and I are going to die one day unless Jesus comes back before you die. But all things being equal, for 2,000 years, every Christian, every saint, their body has died. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. That's the one looking at me out of those eyes, the real you, the spirit that's inside of you. That's really what keeps your body going and keeps it animated. You say, well, no, it's my muscles and my bones. No, it's not really. I mean, that's helpful. Your muscles have a part to play and your bones have a part to play. But take your spirit out of your body will fall to the ground. Even if you're built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, it does not matter. Muscles won't hold you up, bones won't hold you up, because your spirit's gone. Are you with me? Because that's the real you. That's the solid, concrete, eternal part of you. And your spirit, of course, your spirit goes to heaven. But God has a plan for this body. One day, he's going to change it. He's going to glorify it. Because God made the body, he had a purpose for it. Because of sin, it's dying. It's the last enemy to be put under death, the Bible talks about. It's physical death. Physical death has not been put underfoot. Jesus did not redeem us from physical death. He redeemed us from spiritual death. He redeemed us from hell. But he will come back, and when he does, then the last enemy, Paul talks about, to be put underfoot, death. It's an enemy, not a friend. God doesn't kill you. God doesn't take you, your loved ones, when they die. He receives them. Death took them. Sin took them. Not their sin, the sin of Adam, which has affected everybody, all of us. Ever since Adam, people have been dying. Death entered the world because one man sinned, is what the scripture says. God's not into death, he's into life. But one day he will come back and he'll do away with physical death. We'll have a new heaven and a new earth. Ooh. You can read about it in Revelation 21, 22. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Old things have passed away. All things become new. There'll be no more crying, no more dying, no more weeping, no more death, no more hospitals, no more funerals, no more chiggers, red bugs, or fire ants. Hallelujah. All things will be made new. It's a wonderful place, and you want to be there. You want to go there. For the Spirit and the bride say, come. Jesus invites you to heaven. God invites you to heaven. Everybody up there invites you to heaven. In fact, nobody invites you to hell. That conversation with that rich man and that poor man, rich man said, please let me tell my brothers not to come down here. I heard an old minister say one time, he said, you know what? Mama told me it's not nice to go somewhere you're not invited. You were never invited to hell, but you've been invited to heaven over and over. Amen. Think about it. It's a wonderful place. It's a place you and I are going to live forever. But at one point, you and I, after we die, if we die before Jesus comes back, we'll be reunited with our bodies again. The graves will open up. What a day. And 1 Corinthians 15, I didn't continue on with that. If you read that whole chapter, it's a long chapter. He goes on and talks about that. He said, in a moment, in a twinkling eye. Wow. In a moment, in a twinkling eye. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up of life. And the grave will lose victory and death will lose its sting. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful day. It's coming. It's your body will never grow old again. It'll never wear out. You know, you talk to people that live a long, long time and they feel just as young and their spirit as they ever were. Their body just doesn't function like it should. I mean, really. I mean, my daddy used to tell me that. Now I know. I'm starting to understand it, you know. I just don't function the same way, you know. But, I mean, I don't think any different. I don't feel any different in my spirit. Are you with me? Well, one day we'll have something that doesn't deter us or hold us down, that pulls and tugs at us, that's connected just to this world and to sin, that just keeps having to, you have to keep putting makeup on. Ladies, I believe in makeup. Keep using it. It's doing a wonderful job. I'm for that. I think it's wonderful. But there's coming a day you won't have to do that. Are you with me? Take medicine, take pills for everything in the world, you know, and go to doctors and have surgery and all. I mean, come on. I understand. I got that. But one day, no. You'll never need that again. Are you with me? And thank God for all that man can do. But see, there's something going on the outside. It's just not going on the inside. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. So he says here, notice what it says. In the 13th verse. Yeah. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I like that. I'd like to have you to be smart, brethren, not ignorant, brethren. Y'all get that later, but anyway. Concerning them which are asleep. I like that. Concerning them which are asleep. Now, obviously, they're asleep to the world. Are you with me? They're not asleep as far as unconscious. Because even that parable we talked about, Luke 16, Jesus talked about the rich man, the poor man. They were talking. They were dead. Physically. Right? And in heaven, John goes up to heaven. He talks to people up in heaven. Some of them have the same testimony. Some of them are Christians he's talking to. He thought one was an angel and fell down to worship. And he said, no, I'm of your brethren that had the testimony of Jesus Christ. Was kind of guiding him around, showing him some things up there. So when you die, you're very conscious and aware. You just go to heaven. Amen? You're asleep to the world. And that term sleep is talking about sleep of death, sleep to the world. So he says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have died. Many of you have had relatives that have gone on to be with the Lord, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children, whatever, friends, relatives. He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, do you believe that? That's what we're talking about today, right? So if we believe he died and rose again, that means something concerning us. If I believe in the resurrection of Jesus, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Right? So I can't say in one breath, Jesus rose from the dead, but we're not going to rise. Oh, no, that's the whole point. That's the whole reason he did rise. He rose so I could rise. And he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Yeah. Now, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I do know that if God's going to bring with him somebody, then they got to be with him for him to bring them with him. It's deep. You may have to think that thing through. But anyway, when Jesus returns, he's going to bring with him people that are with him. So, yeah, they're already there, right? They're with him, and he's bringing them with him. That's kind of like you can't come back from where you hadn't been. And wherever you go, there you are. There you are. Okay. For if we say... For this we say unto you, I love this 15th verse, This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Everybody say, remain.
Remain.
Meaning, we're alive and still here. They're not still here. See, the wording is pretty plain. I mean, if I remain, that means I didn't leave. Okay? That's like when this service is over, we'll all leave. And y'all don't have to go home, but you just can't stay here. We're going to, everybody go home somewhere. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here after the service is over. But if you remain here, then you didn't leave. Well, now we which remain, meaning we didn't leave, but they did. So those that died, they went, they left, they went with Jesus. They're asleep, their body we buried their body, okay? And that body's still in the grave. But they're not gonna leave it there. And you're not gonna leave your body in the grave. Jesus didn't leave his body in the grave, and we're not gonna leave our body in the grave. So he goes on and says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. Get there before they do. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, woo! Yeah. With the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God. Woo. Hallelujah. Glory. It could be any time now because we got the last Trump is now president. But anyway. We need a drum roll, you know, on that one. At the last trump. Okay. But it says, at the last trump, with the trump of God, and with the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead, not now he's not talking about the sleeping now, he's talking about the dead. What's dead? What died? The body died. The body died. And so the graves will be open, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They'll rise first. We'll meet them, goes on to say. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I like that. You and I are supposed to comfort each other with this. That, hallelujah, we have hope. Jesus rose from the dead. If we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, then everybody that dies in Jesus will go with him and come back and get their bodies at one point. Yeah. Amen. If we believe Jesus rose from the dead, we're going to rise from the dead. Hey, real quickly, Romans 8:11 says this. You might just write notes. Let me just quote a couple of them. Just run out of time. I don't want you to miss your Easter ham or whatever you got cooking. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he will that raised up Christ from the dead, he shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. How about that? Yes. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Wow. And Paul, when he was talking about his vision and seeing Christ and how he was called to go to the Gentiles, in Acts 26:23, he says that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Everybody say first.
First.
Not the last. He was the first. He's the firstborn among many brethren. Brethren, he was the fulfillment of the Feast of First Fruits, which was after Passover. Are you with me? And he's the lamb that we celebrate at Passover. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, but he also is the first fruits because he rose from the dead. Yeah. The next feast was Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit came down. Are you with me? And the next feast after that is trumpets. Do you know that? That's when the trumpet sounds, we go up. Under the old covenant at that feast, Leviticus 23, when the priest would sound the trumpets, people would come out of the fields and come into the temple. Yeah. They'd cease working and come into the temple. Well, the next feast in line after Pentecost, there hasn't been another one paralleled in Christianity, the next feast in line is trumpets. And when that trumpet sounds, you and I are going up. Hallelujah. Amen. This corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up of light. We ought to hang this in a nursery. They shall not sleep, but they shall be changed.
Wow.
That's deep, isn't it? Okay. Well, I want to encourage you with that. I'd really encourage you for those that have loved ones that have gone on before you. They're very much alive and they're very happy, and you wouldn't want them to come back from where they've been or where they are. To come back here, are you kidding? They've gone where you and I long to go and where we will go one day. You know, it's selfish on our part to want them to stay longer, but God wants them. You know, and they're in God's presence. God wants all of us, excuse me. He wants all of us, but they're experiencing what we've been preaching about, what we've been longing for. They're not in any pain. They're not in any sorrow. They're, wow. And you and I are going there. Amen.